Father, we thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you for being a God of love who loves us. We thank you for showing your love toward us by saving us through the death of your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And we pray that he would be with us tonight. Help us to grow in our love and our understanding of your word. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are studying 3 John. So far we've covered part of verse 11, from verse 1 through part of 11. So we've looked at Gaius. He is a beloved friend of John, who wrote the letter. He was walking in the truth, and this gave John much joy to find that his child in the faith was walking in the truth. So he had received good reports about Gaius. Gaius was showing good Christian hospitality, and he was walking in the truth. Next, we looked at Diotrephes in verses 9 and 10. This was a man who was not walking in the truth. He was a man of some position or power in the church, but he was not putting it to good use. Tonight we'll look at a man named Demetrius, and then the conclusion of the letter. But before we get to that, I don't know how many of you were here last Thursday night studying the book of Acts, but do you remember what happened, what we looked at this last Thursday?
Amphitheater.
Is that the theater?
Yeah, and they showed the hall.
Yes, the Hall of Tyrannus.
Talked about the lake. That guy here that we talked about that wasn't this Gaius.
Okay.
He mentioned that, and I thought, well, that was interesting. It came up.
Good. So I'll just kind of summarize what happened. Paul had been in Ephesus for a couple of years in the Hall of Tyrannus, preaching the gospel every day. And so everyone in the region, this is found in Acts chapter 19, in case you want to read it sometime. So I'm just summarizing it. Everyone in the region heard the word of the Lord, and after some time, there was a huge bonfire of sorts where people voluntarily burned their books of magic. The Lord was really working in that area. People were turning from idols to serve the living and true God. But that led to some opposition from those who had gained their wealth from making those idols. So a certain silversmith stirred up the crowds against Paul because he was preaching that the idols that they made were not gods at all. This idol maker convinced the people that Paul was threatening their false goddess Artemis, for whom they had a temple there in Ephesus. So they were enraged, the city was in confusion, and they dragged Paul's traveling companions into the theater. And for 2 hours they shouted, chanting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And eventually, the town clerk quieted the crowd and told them to stop rioting. And if they had any complaint, to take it to the courts. And he dismissed them. These events happened somewhere around the year 55, plus or minus a couple years, but somewhere around there. So why am I bringing this up, and what does it have to do with 3 John? You know. Okay. Well, you already kind of mentioned part of it. It probably doesn't have anything to do with our study of 3 John, but it is interesting that the silversmith was named Demetrius, and one of Paul's traveling companions was a man named Gaius from Macedonia, who they had taken. So these were probably not the same people that are mentioned here in 3 John, but it's not impossible. If it is the same Demetrius, then he certainly underwent a great change, because he was very much against the Lord there in Ephesus at the time of Paul. So 3 John was written around 85 to 95, so it would be 30 to 40 years after that riot had taken place.
Sure.
The Lord can change anyone. So it is possible, but we really just don't have the information to say definitively one way or the other.
Well, they weren't necessarily Greek, but this area was Turkish, Greek, and what else? Where is he at?
Well, there, the riot took place in Ephesus, but...
But where is he from there?
We don't know for sure, but we think that he probably was in Ephesus when he wrote. He was there at the later years of his life.
So this really could be.
It's possible. Who knows?
I
just did find it interesting that there are two men with the same names in that passage we just looked at last week.
And then he brought up Acts, I went, oh my gosh, it's
okay, so let's read 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth... Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting... Excuse me. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, the one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So we'll pick up at verse 11. Yes, Curtis.
Do you remember that verse that says, if a man said he loved God and hated his brother, he's a liar?
Yeah.
Now the scripture, when you just read, when you just read, that guy forgot the key thing, love him.
Yes, we will see tonight that he did not love the people of God, but he was not one himself. So last week we looked at Diotrephes in verses 9 and 10. He was a proud man. He loved being first. He thought of himself as the most important. And so his actions were hostile to toward others who felt that, whom he felt that they threatened his position. And so verse 11 here is kind of a transition in between, speaking of Diotrephes and Demetrius. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. To imitate literally means to mimic, but the word is translated to follow our example in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 9. It's the same word translated, follow our example there. So John does not want his beloved friend Gaius to follow the example of Diotrephes. Instead, he should follow the pattern of those who are doing good. And this is what Demetrius was doing. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. From this we can gather that the way that we live shows our standing with God. It's not perfect because what we do visibly isn't always what is a true reflection of what's going on inside. But in general, that would hold. So Gaius was walking in the truth. He was showing love to the brethren because he was of God. But Diotrephes, by his evil works, showed that he did not know God. Even though he had great power and influence in the church, he himself was not saved. And even today and throughout all history, church leaders, deacons, elders, pastors are not always saved. They should be, but their position in the church is not proof of their salvation. We see their character by their lives, and others see our character by our lives. We should follow the example of those whose life is good and whose words are truth. But we should not imitate those who show by their works that they are not saved. That is not what we are to follow. That's up there already. Okay, now. Oh, that wasn't supposed to be up there yet. Okay. This is supposed to be up there. So the Bible makes it clear that we are not saved by works. Galatians 2:16 says that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. The end of that verse says, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So doing good works or even keeping the law does not save us. It's not what saved Gaius. It's not what saved Demetrius. It's not what saves anyone. However, obedience to the Lord's commandments is the visible proof of salvation. It's the evidence that a person is saved. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that shows that our obedience shows that we love him, that we are of God. Diotrephes refused to obey the commandments. He refused to show love to the brethren. He did not humble himself and put others first. And so this demonstrated that he was not saved. He had not seen God. He had not known God or discerned him. In verse 12, again, we see the importance of a good testimony or a good reputation. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. That is, he was well known in the Christian community, and nobody had anything bad or damaging to say about him. He was known for walking in the truth. So the whole church could testify that Demetrius was a genuine, faithful child of God. He had received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. That is, he was walking in the truth, just like Gaius was. His life showed a pattern of good works, not evil works like Diotrephes. The truth itself, we could even say, is the word of God, that his life aligned with what God's word commands. So he received a good testimony from the truth in that sense. And finally, we add our testimony. So the Apostle John adds his own testimony, but this is in the plural form. We add our testimony. I didn't really find out anything about who else John is including with himself in this letter. He does use the plural form earlier, if we're aware. In verse 8, it says, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. There he could be including Gaius and himself, saying we. In verse 10, it says, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly accusing us with wicked words. So there, John's including other people with himself, but I didn't really find out who else he is referring to. So anyway, John's own testimony as an apostle of Jesus Christ should bear enough weight for Gaius to believe the report that Demetrius should be welcomed and received. So why is John writing these things about Demetrius? Why is he telling Gaius all these things?
To warn the people.
Right, he was warning about Diotrephes in the last couple of verses, but here Demetrius has a good report.
Oh, I'm sorry, I mixed up with the
Yeah, they have kind of similar name.
Yeah. Edifying him, lifting him up to give him strength to go on.
Credibility. Well, there are a couple of possibilities or theories. Again, we can't say for certain, but perhaps Diotrephes had thrown him out of the church, and John wanted to make sure that Gaius didn't fall for any of the malicious accusations that he had made about Demetrius. Demetrius has a good testimony. John, in that sense, he would be making sure that Gaius continued to treat Demetrius like a brother. Another possibility is that Demetrius may have been the one delivering this letter to Gaius, and he may have himself been a traveling missionary in need of support on his journey, and so John would be encouraging Gaius to show good Christian hospitality to this man. But in any case, it seems like Gaius either had or would be encountering Demetrius and should know these things about him, that he was one that he could support, one who was walking in the truth as well. So this is kind of getting sidetracked again, the only Demetrius mentioned in the Bible is here and in Acts chapter 19 that we looked at the beginning. However, a shortened form of this name is Demas, and that is mentioned in Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:10, and Philemon 24. But again, we can't say whether they are the same as this Demetrius or not. But in those three cases, it was someone that was working with Paul. In 2 Timothy, we see that he had left Paul. He had loved this present world, I think it says, and kind of turned away. But that's just a shortened form of the name Demetrius, but we can't say. It's probably not this one, but just in case you're interested. So the letter closes now in these next few verses, very similarly to 2 John. He says here, 3 John, I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly and we will speak face to face. In 2 John 12, he said, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. They hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. So again, we see it's very similar. That is part of the reason why we can be certain the same person wrote both letters. John had only written about the most urgent matters, but he planned to visit Gaius shortly and he would have a more intimate conversation with him, with his beloved friend, face to face. John apparently was one who preferred speaking over writing, but he did not neglect to write when it was necessary. And even when he was planning to see his friend soon, he still wrote a letter to address what could not wait in case his plans did not come to pass. Okay, verse 15. In some of your Bibles, this is the end of verse 14. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. John wishes peace to his dear friend. Peace comes from God. The scriptures teach us that the peace of God surpasses all understanding. That is, God can give us peace when it doesn't even make sense for us to be at peace. The world can be in turmoil, and yet we are confident in Him, and so we can be at peace in any situation. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee."
Isaiah what?
26, verse 3. When we set our mind on him, when we keep entrusting ourselves and our situation to him, he gives us his peace. He is called the God of peace in Philippians 4, verse 9. And the Lord Jesus is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, verse 6.
Isaiah 9, what?
Verse 6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So peace be to you. The only way we have peace with God, the Father, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And true peace, rest, worrylessness, if that's a word, is for true believers. If someone is not saved, they should be full of fear and worry, because what is awaiting them in the end is not anything pleasant. So peace be to you. The friends greet you, and greet the friends by name. The last question on your worksheet says, who are these friends? The answer is, I don't know. They were most likely believers, and I would just say that from the fact that it is more difficult for believers and non-believers to have a very close friendship. But they are friends of both John and Gaius. They would be mutual friends. John would have encountered some who wanted to extend their greetings to Gaius. And apparently there were other mutual friends that Gaius was in contact with that John wanted him to greet for him. Yes, Curtis.
Would it be verse 7 for these people?
It could be. They could be included anyways, those who went out for the sake of the name in verse 7. Perhaps John had sent missionaries that way before, and they had traveled through, even strangers to Gaius, but he welcomed them and they became friends. That could be included, sure. John says to greet the friends by name, and yet he does not himself write their names, so we don't know who they were for sure, but this kind of shows the close friendship that John and Gaius had with each other, that one would be able to mention friends and the other would know of whom they were speaking. I think that shows a close relationship. If you could just say, the friends greet you, and he knows who he's talking about. So even in John's old age, he still loved and encouraged and cherished these friends. These probably were believers that he had ministered to throughout his life. And that is verse 15. So, just any questions or comments on 3 John that I hope I can answer or address?
No? Where are we heading next?
I'll get to that at the end. So, I guess we're kind of at the end. So just kind of throughout this letter, we've learned some things that are important, that John thought was important for Gaius to know. He mentions about Gaius' soul prospering early on. That was something that was evident because of his walk, and John wanted his health to prosper in the same way. We see joy that John received from hearing the news that Gaius was walking in truth. We should all take joy when we hear good news about a brother or sister that they are doing something good for the Lord. That should encourage us in our walk. We see the importance of a testimony, our testimony of others and theirs about us. It goes both ways. We kind of see that throughout the letter a few times, that people had reported about Gaius's works, and apparently John had received reports about what Diotrephes was doing, but those were not good reports. And then Demetrius has good reports from everyone. We see that the work of the Lord is something that shows his love. If someone is turning away people and refusing to receive them and throwing people out of the church because they want to show love for other Christians, that is not a work of the Lord, what Diotrephes was doing. Even though he was had this influence in the church, he was not showing the Lord's work. Yeah.
It sounds like he had something he had to hide. You know, he was hiding something big time.
Maybe.
He had no news. Why not? He's a believer in the church. He was hiding. You know?
Yeah. We also see that our enemy has people everywhere. They're not just out in the world, but there are people who are not friendly to Christ, even in the church. But that doesn't mean that they are without hope. But we should recognize that. We should be aware of it, that not everyone's saved, no matter where they are. So, just something to watch out for, something to pray about if we see this kind of behavior going on. We see that our lives, we looked at tonight, that our lives show what our faith is like. They show our relationship to God, whether we are of God or whether we do not know Him or have not seen Him. That's just evident through our works. Then again, we see the importance of writing letters. It is something John did not neglect to do, even brief letters at times. And also we see the importance of personal visits. We don't know whether he did or not visit this Gaius or the lady in 2 John for sure, but he was planning to visit them both, and it is good to fellowship outside of the church with other believers. And I guess that kind of summarizes it. It is. Okay. Okay. There you go. So you ask where we're going next. Planning to do 1 Thessalonians starting next week. You want to get a jump start on that?
Did we do that?
I didn't.
No, I mean, your Bible says, I thought we would do 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy.
I haven't yet. Nope. Okay. No, I just kind of gone here and there. I don't know. Guess just. I hope it's the Lord leading me, but it's just stuff I get kind of in my mind, and it looks like.
Well, good. I think, man, 1 Thessalonians is beautiful to me, especially chapter 4, 13 through 17, brother.
Yes. Well, any scripture is good to study, so we can't really go wrong, I suppose.
We will be caught up, brother. Yeah.
Okay. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us. We thank you that your Spirit is with us and teaches us and guides us and helps us to understand who you are and the things that you would have us to do. We pray that you will be with us, continue with us, turning our minds always toward you. We thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you that you are a God of love, that you are perfect in love, perfect in goodness, and that you are reliable, trustworthy, and we can put our trust in you. We thank you for the peace you give us day by day. We pray that we would just be focused on you and trust you in all things. We pray in your name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.